Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. There has been a new continuing resolution that has been passed, but that all-important reconciliation bill still lies ahead. We're going to discuss all of it with Scott Parkinson. Scott, good to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be back, Loman. Thank you.
Let's recap here. The continuing resolution, it passed here a week or so ago. So we have that as far as the current budget year is concerned, but there's also been some fallout, especially for Chuck Schumer over in the U.S. Senate. Want to give us a brief recap of the CR?
Yeah, you know, the CR passed through the House of Representatives. Conservatives really wanted to alleviate the probability of a big bipartisan spending deal in the spring. And so normally conservatives in the House would oppose the CR, but they found a way to cut non-defense discretionary spending by a little bit and still maintain some necessary increases on defense spending and overall cut spending by $6 billion and then kick that over to the Senate. They left town and really jammed Chuck Schumer, who at first said there was no way he was going to provide the votes. Well, Chuck Schumer has a new nickname as a caveman, and he did cave and has really been called out by his Democrat colleagues. He ultimately helped provide about 10 votes in the United States Senate to obtain cloture, and then only a couple of them voted for final passage. So it's the old cliche of voting for the bill before they voted against it. Well, people like AOC have really been taking on Chuck Schumer hard through her political organization with the Justice Democrats. And, you know, Schumer is not up for re-election until 2028, but I think that there is a growing appetite from the far left, the radical left, these big progressives that want to take out Chuck Schumer because they don't think that he's the man for the moment in fighting back against Donald Trump.
As all of that continues to play out, we have this reconciliation process. This is the process by which a lot of the Trump economic agenda, including extension of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and eliminating taxes on things like wages, tips, Social Security, overtime, all of that is into play there. Where do we stand in that process?
Well, the quick recap is reconciliation is a process that allows Congress to bypass the filibuster in the Senate and pass things with a simple majority as long as it pertains to revenues, federal spending, or the debt limit. This was provided in the Budget Act of 1974, and over the next 15 years or so, they established a bunch of precedents that basically create the rules and allow the referee, the Senate parliamentarian, to make sure that the rules are being abided by. And so what we have right now is the House has passed their budget resolution. The Senate passed a much smaller budget resolution that only deals with energy and border security policies, does not tackle the tax cuts. So what we have right now is sort of this ongoing negotiation. People in the D.C. Beltway call it a pre-conference, where the leadership between the John Thune and Speaker Johnson are trying to determine what the contours of one big beautiful bill would look like. And I think that a disastrous fallback plan would be to only adjudicate a smaller bill that includes energy reforms and border security money. So this negotiation has been ongoing. The interesting thing in terms of updating the listeners is that senators are finally having these as close to formal conversations as you can have with the Senate parliamentarian on whether or not she will allow for what's known as a current policy baseline to extend the tax cuts. And that would, you know, free up a lot of flexibility in the Senate and later in the House for them to do, you know, deeper tax cuts and an expansion so that people actually felt like there was tax relief. If we do nothing, you'll feel the biggest tax increase in our nation's history. It would be $4.6 trillion. But if we extend the tax cuts, it's just going to be what we're feeling today. So it doesn't actually change a whole lot other than the fact that there would be some certainty for businesses that are really, really worried about the increases going through. So it's a big, big time here. One of the developments that's happened recently in the House of Representatives is that Congressman Andrew Gabarino from New York has spearheaded a letter to actually preserve a big part of Joe Biden's legacy from the Inflation Reduction Act. And that legislation allowed for these clean energy tax credits, these green tax credits to take place. And unfortunately, there's some, Republicans that are within the middle of the aisle, I think it's fair to characterize them, and they want to maintain that special interest tax break for green energy companies through this clean energy tax credit. And, you know, Club for Growth certainly opposes that, right? That would make it much harder to expand the Trump tax cuts. The credits initially were scored by the Congressional Budget Office to only cost roughly $200 billion. And I know that sounds like an enormous number, but they were taken up at such a high rate that when CBO went back and scored the Inflation Reduction Act, that provision actually exacerbated our debt and deficit issues by over 300% for that cost. And it was over $663 billion in reality. So we want to push back against those Republicans. You know, I think the bottom line is Donald Trump has said that he opposes the Inflation Reduction Act, and he has called for its full repeal. And then you have these 21 House Republicans that want to put their arms around Doge and Elon Musk and say how great all this stuff is. But then, you know, the big expensive provisions of Biden's, you know, sort of bellwether policy, bellwether law that he got through, they want to preserve that. That's outrageous. We want to make sure that that provision goes away.
And of course, there is a political equation to all of this, which is we need all of this to happen in a way that Trump's economic policies actually impact the economy before we hit the midterms, correct?
That's a great point. You know, right now, I think that there's an optimism that we can finish the tax cuts by the August recess at the end of July. And you might remember in 2017, we did the Trump tax cuts in December. That's when they got signed into law because Republicans first fiddled around with trying to repeal Obamacare and were unsuccessful in that ultimately. So the issue was that there wasn't a big economic boom up until, you know, after the 2018 midterms. And the result was we lost the House majority, and that led to the impeachment inquiries by Nancy Pelosi and AOC and sort of the new squad that took power in the 2018 midterms. We got to avoid that, and we got to make sure that we've got momentum. So that means getting these tax cuts done as quickly as possible, so that they'll have a big impact in the macroeconomic sense of increasing wages, productivity, the number of jobs, and overall a big boost to GDP.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, tell us a little bit about the club.
Well, Club for Growth is an economic organization based out of Washington, D.C. If you want to learn about us and why we support freedom, opportunity, and liberty in economic policy, you can check us out at clubforgrowth.org. And you can actually sign up to become a member for free.
Scott Parkinson joins us every week here on American Radio Journal. Scott, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.